Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
Cardinals, the archbishops, the bishops come to me and say, we want you to pass immigration reform. And I said, but I want you to speak about it from the pulpit. I want you to instruct your, whatever the communication is. The people, some who oppose immigration reform, are sitting in those pews. And you have to tell them that this is a manifestation of our living the gospel.
And good morning. We are back after a little two-week vacation. It is Saturday, the 15th of the month, whatever.
Check the calendar.
And all I know is that it's been a nice, sunshiny week. And after the what's been going on the last couple of weeks, I guess in both of our lives, that it's just kind of nice things are
really
coming down, and we are back on the internet again. Which I know everybody just truly missed it.
Hallelujah!
Well, we got a lot to... Go ahead.
Oh, a lot of things have happened in the period of time that we've been gone, I'll tell you. A lot of things have happened, and there's lots of things to talk about, and lots of things to make you furious.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I can't think of anything that, in the news that really made me happy. Only furious.
Well, I spent road and listening to Sirius Satellite.
really serious, huh?
Really serious, you know, a little plug for Sirius Satellite. Anyways, but listening to the talk shows and the news and stuff and just biting at the bit of all the stuff going on in the news and like, I don't want to talk about this. No, I can't. We're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
So the truck you drive has Sirius Satellite in it?
Well, I stuck it in there. I'm kind of lucky because out of the two trucks that the company owns, my truck has a radio.
Okay.
The other,
and you can just stick satellite receiver on it anytime you want to, huh?
Yeah, it the way this one works is that it rebroadcasts on a film.
I see.
You don't have a terrestrial radio that's drowning you out. You know, you can pick up the satellite. And since a lot of places I deliver to, you know, that's towards some stuff where there's no radio signal, so it's kind of nice to be able to listen to more than just engine noise.
Okay, all right, I'm all for that. I what I do is totally different. I take a little player and I have thousands of old time radio shows that I'd love to listen to, and I listen to those instead of when I'm driving. No commercials.
There you go.
Well, actually, some of them do have commercials, but they're, you know, for old stuff like LAVA, you know, and stuff like that. Just neat stuff that I could. And I'm old, and I remember that. So.
God, I just thinking when you say old and remember it. You know, I'm in my 50s myself, and the only thing.
Just a young chick, folks.
The only thing I remember from school, and when I talk to people about this, they pretty much have the same memories. I mean, I don't remember, you know, learning all the important stuff. All I remember is put your left foot out.
That was in school?
That was
you did the hokey pokey in school? Okay. I remember, I think it was in, what was I? I was in fifth or sixth grade when I moved to a different town, and they did square dancing in this town. I hated that. I just hated that for some reason. I don't know why.
Huh.
Never did learn how to square dance.
Me neither. And they also made us do the maypole or whatever. And
yeah.
You know, I wasn't well liked in school, and they kept tying me up to the damn pole.
Well, I never had that problem. I don't know that I was necessarily well liked. I wasn't unliked or anything like that, but I was big. You don't tie me up to a pole, I'll flatten your little butt. Something like that. Anyway, so what have we got in mind here this morning? I'm going to take a fresh 2 second break while I blow my nose. I'll be back.
Yeah, the advantages of live radio, even though it is on the internet. But like I said, we got a lot going on. The intro was Nancy Pelosi being interviewed about immigration and the Catholic Church, and I got a cooler clip that we'll play later on. We got some news on the happenings of the aftermath of the Arizona law. There's been some interesting things going with that, and a little bit of discussion regarding the oil slick, and some just basic stuff. What's been going on? But
did I hear see or whatever on the news that they're still debating this changing of the road signs on to this pate or pepe or whatever it is.
Pate. Have... cat food.
That's what? Cat food. Anyway, and that they haven't got that settled. I thought that was settled.
Okay, what's going on with that? Just a quick bring people up to date on that. There's a 14-mile stretch. Anyway, small stretch of freeway called the Beltline, and it's already got renamed by the state to some number. I think it's 569 or something like that. Nobody even knows about.
Well, that had to be. That was its original name.
Yeah. And the Oregon Department of Transportation wanted to rename the Beltline Road to the Ed Pepe Beltway in order to honor Ed Pepe, who is he was partly responsible for making the flyover from Beltline from I-5 to Beltline happen and some other things in the.
You know, that's really exciting because you keep talking about this beautiful flyover. I have never seen anybody use it.
Oh, I use it all the time. You have no choice. If you want to go from North I-5 to Beltline West, you got to use the flyover to get over to it now. But
okay, so you're not doing talking about what I'm talking about. I thought you were talking about that neat silver thing with lots and lots of cables over the freeway.
No, it's a bike path.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen anybody use that yet either. But also that flyover thing, of course, they make it very confusing. A lot of people wind up in the wrong lane and. But that's neither here nor there. Anyways, they wanted to rename the Beltline to the Ed Pepe Beltway to honor Ed Pepe at about a cost of $250,000.
But see, that's not the cost. That's not the cost. The state doesn't have to bear the cost. The big cost is all these businesses and all these people who have any kind of reference to that in the entire city have to change their literature or their information.
Exactly. And budget crisis. We don't have money for XYZ essential services that we're going to go spend $250,000 plus. Anyways, people are very upset over that. And so the Oregon Department of Transportation decided, well, why don't we just go ahead and put a sign at both ends of Beltline? And we'll still go ahead and change the name, but instead of putting a whole bunch of signs, we'll just put a couple up at a cost of about $5,000. Well, people are still upset about.
Well, of course.
The naming in general is, they want the opportunity to have a say in it, and I don't blame them.
Say or no say, what they want an opportunity to have is not to change everything.
Right.
You know, you can, you know, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, I thought it would be interesting to note that I thought it was all taken care of, and I just see that there's still people debating it. Well, you can't be debating if it's already taken care of.
Well, yeah, but I guess what they're just trying to do is, and I feel the same way too, is that you know, take our recession seriously. Let's focus on the real issues. Yeah, sure, it's nice to honor somebody. I mean, we got a street here in Springfield that's a Bob Straub Parkway or something like that. It's like, okay, that's all great and well. Who's Bob Straub?
Yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Did they do that? Did they change the name on that, or did they make it that way from the beginning?
They made it that way from the beginning.
Well, see, that's great. That's fine. I don't mind that. It doesn't put anybody out. Even if I don't know who it is, you know, it doesn't put anybody out. It could be named Highway 9 or something, you know, or Road 14,658. But, you know, or name it Gazakstehagen.
Bless you.
Really. Anyway, back to immigration.
Back to immigration. So anyway, on the immigration front, which we'll get into in a few minutes, the Arizona law, which is requiring the police officers, well, it's not really requiring, it gives the police officers the option to check your legalization status if you are stopped for a lawful reason, traffic stop or whatever. But first, very first, what I would like to do is to invite listeners to call in to our show and join us on our conversation on this or any other topic you feel of interest. You know, call it like Open Line Saturday. And to do that, you can pick up that nice little phone there and call
646-721-9887. See if we can make it totally impossible for them to understand what we just said. 646-721-9887.
And you can join us in the chat room now, which is now open, or send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com. We would love to hear from you and hear from your comments. We also would read listener mail online if you would like.
If you're going to join us in the chat room, include us. Don't just chat amongst yourselves. You know, I mean, it's fine. We get to see what you're saying about us that way, but still.
But Cliff, you wanted to discuss the oil slick briefly?
Oh yeah, I'm really. Oh gee, you know, there's a couple of things that I don't like about that. You had a thing on there. Oh, that was going to play into this, but anyway. You know, we're worried. Everybody's worried about how much oil is leaking out. Everybody's got all kinds of upsets about how much oil is getting out. They lied to us. It was more than that. It was more than this. It was more than something else. I don't give a damn how much it is. Stop it. Get it stopped. And I guess I have to tell you, I have totally done a 360-degree flip. I before thought it was really no big thing about having these oil things off the coast of anywhere. Now, I want them all shut down. I want them all stopped because they can't control them. They can't control them. And when something happens on land, if you've got an oil well in downtown Cottage Grove or Springfield, and something happens, it's going to mess up a large area around it, you know, maybe up to a mile. This is messing up 100 miles of people's livelihood. And that's got to end. You can't do that, folks. That's got to stop. We've got to get rid of all of those. We've got to shut them all down. And you know, put them, if you want to put them on land, that's fine. As far as I'm concerned, we've got to stop putting them anywhere, as far as I'm concerned. We've got to get into nuclear power. We've got to work with nuclear power. It is the cleanest and actually most efficient and least expensive way to generate electricity that we know of at this time in our history. I keep being told that there's going to be something in the future that comes up that's going to wipe it all out and we should be working on that. No, we shouldn't. We don't have that yet. We need to do what we have. We don't mean we shouldn't do any research or work on anything else. We should, absolutely. But we've got to work with what we've got, and right now that's nuclear power. We need to push for lots of nuclear power. It has proven to be safe over years and years and years. I mean, we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nuclear power plants. We've got hundreds of them just in the United States alone. And there have only been really There's only been one major accident with nuclear power plants, and I hesitate to say that it's because they didn't know what they were doing, because it was Russia that had the problem. But I do feel that perhaps they were more prone to cutting corners than anybody else, and that had something to do with it. But there have been no accidents, no major accidents that have actually resulted in deaths or super destruction like this oil thing. So that's my opinion.
Well, I agree.
And also,
let me just point here. Since I worked in the oil field for about a year, one of the things that, and it's a little bit harder, I understand, for deep sea drilling, but maybe they should come up with some type of a containment system. The oil wells that I've worked with in North Dakota, every well site has a dike built around it, so if there is a spill, it can be contained and controlled.
Right.
I know it's a little harder to do offshore, but maybe that should be something that they should be figuring out.
They've got all kinds of protections, and they've got all kinds of things that work to stop it down and shut it off and do all this stuff. And now it's...
And I kind of wonder if I lost Cliff again. Let's find out here. Cliff is... he's been having a little trouble with his ISP.
What? Oh, did you lose me?
Yeah, you disappeared on me again.
Oh, okay. I was saying that we've had all kinds of they've got all kinds of protective devices and things to stop the wells down if something happens, an accident happens. Now I find out we've had several accidents, and these protective devices have never worked. They don't work. They're great theory, but not in practice. So.
Well, true, and it depends on where the accident happens. If it's below the wellhead, then yeah, it's very impossible to shut it off unless you get something stuck down in there. And I think it's really interesting. I was thinking about this the other day, and they finally decided to do it. Well, they paid engineers. Is if you have a well is kind of like a pipe. Well, it is a pipe actually,
Yeah.
And just like if you have a hole in the straw, you can stick another straw in it or over it, and get things to work. Well, now they're finally deciding to stick a straw in the pipe and hopefully to have a.
But none of this is proven. None of this works. They thought they had they've got a cap on it. They've got an automatic thing that they can cap it off, and that didn't work. And it's not worked in the past. They've tried it in the past. They've got two or three protective devices that they've come up with, none of which work. How do you stick a straw in this hole? You're talking about something that's 5,000 feet down. It's not something you can just stick a straw in. We just got to stop them. That's just it. I'm not at this point saying that we need to shut the others down, but if there's ever any kind of a problem with any of them, they should be shut down. And we've got to come up with some sort of
One thing I will say that I'm impressed about is, and it's not too much lately that Obama impresses me, but let me go ahead and do clip four real quick here.
I wish you'd do clip four.
Actually, clip five. Clip four is not cool to see, but.
Mislead me, will you? Mislead me.
But now let me go ahead and just play clip four and then speak for itself, I think.
I know BP is committed to pay for the response effort, and we will hold them to their obligation. I have to say, though, I did not appreciate what I considered to be a ridiculous spectacle during the congressional hearings into this matter. You had executives of BP and Transocean and Halliburton falling over each other to point the finger of blame at somebody else. The American people could not have been impressed with that display, and I certainly wasn't.
And that's what kind of impressed me. And, if you listen to the whole news broadcast or his whole speech, he basically just said, guys, quit pointing the fingers and get the problem fixed.
Okay. I've got a problem with the whole thing. Just because you're a legislator doesn't mean you're an expert on anything. In fact, most of them are not. And holding these hearings in the first place is an absolute atrocity. It's absolutely stupid. It's spending a lot of time and money on things that we don't need. We don't need to know who's at fault. It's happened. Let's fix it.
Right.
And then let's turn them off so that it doesn't happen again. Then we don't have to worry about who's at fault. But to call somebody in and grill them with 250 people or whoever the hell it is that are up there asking them questions. These people are dummies that are asking the questions. These people are idiots. They're politicians. They know nothing about what they're talking about, or just enough about what they're talking about to be absolutely dangerous. This idea of congressional hearings has got to stop. We're ruining people's lives, ruining people's reputations for no reason whatsoever. We've got to stop that system. It doesn't work.
Well, doesn't that make more sense to have the hearings? I mean, focus on getting this disaster under control, and then, so that if nothing else, so the department heads, you know, the BP, the CEOs and whatever, can focus on the problem.
Well, in the first place, BP already stepped up to the plate and said they're going to take responsibility for it. All right, that's fine. Leave it alone until we've done it and find out if they did or didn't. If after the whole thing is through, we find out that they didn't take responsibility, or they were dangerously stupid about the whole thing and didn't bother to put any protection on it, then we can do the hearings or some sort of hearings. In the first place, that's fine, but let's come up with somebody who knows what they're talking about. This idea of putting them in front of the entire legislature or the Senate or whomever they're in front of, these are, even at the smallest, the 100 people of idiots, 100 idiots standing there asking questions just to try to dip themselves on television or some damn thing. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But we've got to stop these congressional hearings. They've got to end. That's not accomplishing a thing, not one single thing. Let the Congress sit down and fight amongst themselves for a day or so and come up with an expert, someone who knows what's going on, and let that person ask the questions and do the job. But this crap of putting them in front of a bunch of stupid idiots who know nothing about anything except gathering up money so they can get reelected has got to end. They are not experts. They aren't even smart.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I understand that oil and water don't mix. So what's the problem?
You know who I do have to compliment?
Who's that?
And I'm sure it's not Obama, although he did authorize it. They've got 12,000. I'm impressed. 12,000 people that we're working to try to take care of this and mop it up and keep it from being any worse than it absolutely is. And, you know, if you get right down to it, if you check, I've been on and checked, from what I understand, it hasn't reached the shore yet. I mean, it's close, but it hasn't reached the shore. They've only got one confirmation of a bird that has died because of the oil spill. And so far, they've done a very good job of not cleaning it up, but at least containing it somewhat. So, you know, again, it doesn't make any difference how much oil is coming out of it. We've got to figure out how to stop the oil from coming out of it. I don't care if you have to you know, drop a bomb down there and close up the whole thing or whatever, but something has got to stop that oil.
Well, and I want to get on to our main topic here in just a moment, but what you're just saying is they have a confirmation of a dead bird.
Right. One.
I'm just picturing, are you sure it's dead? Yep, I'm sure it's dead, all right. It ain't moving.
Well, no, they found this one bird that was covered with oil.
Yeah, I know.
That was the whole idea. They did have another bird that was covered with oil, but they cleaned him off and he's fine. Seriously.
Anyways, moving right along.
And what it is these what are they, pelicans or some silly thing, I don't know, that dive down into the water and get a fish and then come back up. They don't pay any attention to what's on the water.
All right. Anyways, still, if we have phone lines open, 6-8. 646-721-9887. I'd like to you know, if you want to join the show. We'd love to have you on here. It's really easy, too. You just call the number and it says push 1, and we say hello, you say hello, and then we start a conversation. It's really easy. It's like we're talking on the telephone.
Yes, because we are. But anyway, I want to stir up a lot of hate and distrust about the legislature, because it's just getting really on my nerves that anytime any little thing happens, they call a congressional hearing and they drag everybody in, and you have no choice but go in, or they put you in jail. And they accomplish absolutely nothing at any given time with any of these things, virtually nothing. And all they do is the person who they've drug in, regardless of whether they're good people or bad people, they've made them spend a lot of money, lose a lot of time at doing whatever they're doing. And in this particular case, we're dragging the very people in who should be fixing this problem.
That's right.
They're the only ones who know enough about it to fix it, or at least try. Yeah. But we've got to stop the oil drilling. I've decided that I've come to complete turnaround on that.
Well, I'll tell you what safety procedures in. But anyways, I want to move along to the immigration thing. We have 33 minutes left in the show.
Oh, my God.
Since that is a topic today. I have two clips I'm just going to get right into, just to get them out of the way, because they're pretty good talking points. But the Arizona law, which was passed because of the massive amount of illegal aliens that have entered the state. And I guess Arizona is now the number one kidnapping state in the nation.
Kidnapping?
Yeah.
Who are we kidnapping?
Well, they're kidnapping for ransom, because I guess there's also, I guess, Scottsdale, Arizona is a pretty wealthy area. So.
And we think that's the Mexicans that are doing that?
Well, they didn't say for sure if it was the Mexicans, but they say kidnappings have gone up. But the
I think that's a stupid assumption to make. I mean, you're not going to – can you imagine some poor Mexican person who has just risked their entire life by coming across the border, and the first thing he does is go kidnap some rich person's dog or something, or son or daughter or whatever, or the person, and these people are not over there researching how to kidnap or who to kidnap. That's a dumb assumption to make, I think.
Well, I agree on that part. But anyways, the Arizona law, which allows police to check your legal immigration status, you know, see your ID, which federal law says that if you are a legal immigrant, that you have to carry your papers with you at all times, and all the Arizona law is doing is basically enforcing federal law. But a lot of controversy, a lot of lawsuits, but also a lot of states are stepping up to the bandwagon now and trying to they're in favor of the law. In fact, if you read if you go online and you read news articles where the media is trying to basically say the Arizona law is bad, not working, the majority of the comments that people put in there are in favor of it. In fact, it's kind of moved beyond just checking ID. The governor of Arizona has also started, or is introduced, I guess it's been introduced for a while, it's House Bill 2281, which basically makes it illegal to in public schools to segregate education. For example, this is from the bill itself. A school district or charter school in this state shall not include in its program of instruction any courses or classes that include any of the following. 1, promote the overthrow of the United States government. 2, promote resentment towards a race or a class of people. 3, designed for primarily for pupils of a particular ethnic group. 4, advocate ethnic solidarity instead of the treatment of pupils as individuals. So in other words, if you have
a class of English, Spanish.
Right.
You can't teach Spanish.
You can teach it, but everybody has to be welcome to go to it. Okay. You can't be excluded because you're one race or another, is basically what the law is saying.
Well, sir, I would disagree with that. I think if they teach it, they have to make it mandatory, just like everything else.
If they teach what, you blanked out.
If they were teaching Spanish. And, you know, if you're going to talk about going up into the high schools where you can elect to take certain subjects, that's a different story. But if you're talking about anything below that where, you know, normally if you teach a class, you teach that to the entire school,
right,
the entire population of the school. And, to take certain groups who don't speak English and make them learn English, or certain groups who they want to speak Spanish to or whatever, I agree. To a certain extent, I agree. But that's man, so many of these times our government pops up with these laws that they don't think about, and they can't really be controlled. There can't be a...
What they're saying is that, like, say, for example, you have Black history. They can't limit it to just Black people. It has to be open to everybody.
I've never heard of anybody ever limiting to Black people. They'd want other people to know.
Now, actually, there was I'm going by memory here, a couple of weeks ago. There was a school that set up my poor memory. Anyways, the school set up a bus tour or a field trip, and they only included African Americans to go talk to this, apparently a well-known engineer, and he was African American. And the whole point was, yes, this is what we can do as Black people, whatever. And when the bus got back to the school, a lot of students were out there booing the bus because it was only open to Black people. And that's pretty much what this law, the intent of this law is to not exclude somebody.
So I'll go along with that. I'll definitely, if that's the way they can enforce it, I'll go along with that. That's a great idea. I mean, I don't think you should ever exclude any group, regardless of what it is, whether it's racial or whether it's religious or what it is. I mean, whatever is open to someone to learn, then it should be open to everybody. I mean, you know, I the only time I find that there should be discrimination is age. I don't think you should be taking, 8-year-old second graders to do something like that necessarily,
right,
unless it's for second graders.
Well, that was just one of the changes as a result of the immigration law that came out. The other thing is English only is now being considered. In fact, let me go ahead and get these two audio clips done since we're running late on time here. This one here is Governor Bob James, and
who is that?
As I'm waiting for Windows to do something.
This is Governor of where?
Tim James. Why do our politicians make us give driver's license exams in 12 languages? This is Alabama. We speak English. If you want to live here, learn it. We're only giving that test in English. If I'm governor. Maybe it's the businessman in me. But we'll save money. And it makes sense. Does it to you?
Okay, Tim James. Let me also get, this was Governor Christie, and he made a very good point. It's not so much immigration, but it's something that somebody in politics that I think we... Well, I'll just go and play it.
Governor, can you take a certain contribution to the
You know, Tom, you must be the thinnest-skinned guy in America. Because you think that's a confrontational tone, then, you should really see me when I'm pissed. And that's not confrontational, all right? So, I love when people say they don't want to have argument. That's what we were sent here for. They believe in certain things. They believe in bigger government, higher taxes, and more spending. Here it is. Bigger government, higher taxes, more spending. I believe in less government, lower taxes, and in empowering local officials who are elected by their citizens to be able to fix their problems. that may lead to a disagreement or two. Now, I could say it really nicely. I could say it in the way that you all might be more comfortable with. You know, maybe we could go back to the last administration where I could say it in the way you wouldn't even understand it. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, this is who I am, and this is who the people elected. And so you guys want to continue to talk about this process stuff, about my tone, my combativeness. You know, we got them standing in the doorway of the Senate saying they won't even hold a hearing on an enormously qualified Supreme Court nominee. You know, but that's not combative or confrontational. Of course not. You know, only I'm combative or confrontational. Listen, everybody plays to their part. This is who I am. Like it or not, you guys are stuck with me for 4 years. And I'm going to say things directly. When you ask me questions, I'm going to answer them directly, straightly, bluntly. And nobody in New Jersey is going to have to wonder where I am on an issue. And I think they've had enough of politicians who make them wonder. Because you know most of the time why they make them wonder, Tom? They make them wonder so they got an escape hatch. So they have an escape hatch. And I'm not interested in the escape hatch. I came here to govern, not to escape. I came here to govern, not to worry about reelection. I came here to do what people sent me here to do. And so, blunt, direct, maybe you might say, honest and refreshing. Maybe we could see that in your paper tomorrow.
Anyways, although that didn't really have any much to do with the topic, I was just so impressed with that, I just had to throw that in there.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm all for that. Since we're probably not going to get him to move here, I might even consider moving to New Jersey if the weather wasn't such horrid stuff.
You couldn't hear the question in the beginning, but it was, Governor, do you think this sort of confrontational tone can increase your odds of getting through this legislature?
See, there's nothing wrong with confrontational tone. I scream and holler and yell when I get into a conversation, and I think it's fun. And so, you got to understand, if you're having a debate or if you're having an argument or whatever, then you need to do whatever it takes to win the argument or win the debate. But that doesn't mean that you need to hate each other afterwards. I can yell at you and still love you.
That's right. And like I said, that's...
I tell that to all my kids, by the way.
That didn't really have much to do with the topic, but it was something I wanted to put on the front show. And
I think it's great. I think it was great.
In there. Speaking of, at the beginning of the show, there was the clip from Nancy Pelosi, who was encouraging the Catholic Church when they give their, well, I don't know if it's called sermons or whatever, when they're preaching to their congregation, to try and encourage them to be in favor of immigration reform.
Well, I have got to put my two bits worth in here. I absolutely have to. I think we should, at this point, wholeheartedly encourage Nancy Pelosi to go away. The ideal, the absolute absurdity of her thinking she can tell the Catholic Church what to do is just, to me, total absurd. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is one of the stupidest ones up there.
Well, what about the separation of church and state? You know, what's she doing going in there and trying to encourage or promote a national issue? I mean, Obama was lambasted for doing that before he got elected.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And when we all really got upset at Obama's religious ties, and we actually made him change churches. And that, I thought, was totally absurd, even though I thought the church that he was involved with was a total atrocity. But, you know, he still has, that's his privilege to be a part of it. To my opinion, rather than screaming and hollering and yelling and making him supposedly, by the way, and I'll put that in quotes, if we're on TV, I've got my fingers up there like the Nixon thing. Anyway, supposedly changing his religion. He didn't change his religion, you idiots. All he did is say he did, so he could get into office. And so, my opinion, we shouldn't have said anything about making him change his religion or even accepted the fact that he said he changed his religion. We just shouldn't have bothered to elect him. If we don't like what he's done in the past, then don't elect him.
Well, don't you think it's kind of a low blow, too, is to go in and start using the church, which the Catholic Church has Well, actually, a lot of the different religions have been acting as sanctuaries for illegal immigration. But to go into the church itself and try to encourage their issues.
Well, you know, I guess what I would have to say, and of course this is just totally off the wall, but if the church decides to get into politics, then they should allow politics to get to them. In other words, there are churches who actually have political views and political ideas as a church, in which case, then I don't think they have anything to say when our politicians start ranking on them, and they should be allowed to. But as long as the church decides to just be a church, then the church and state thing should stand.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. 19 minutes remaining. What I was saying earlier about English only, for example, Oregon, I think, at least it's talk about having English only for the driver's license, or at least it's talk right now. But that is one of the things other states have already done. So far, there are, and I have a list here, I believe there are, I'm just getting my quick little note.
Well, you see, it's really important if you're going to have a driver's license, it's kind of important that you be able to read and speak English, because everywhere you go, that's what the signs are doing. They're in English. Every kind of sign that tells you where to go or what to do on the road is in English. Unless we're ready to go out and put all of our signs in 12 languages, then we shouldn't be teaching the driver's license test in 12 languages. I don't care if the person even knows how to really speak English, but if they know enough English to be able to pass that test, then they know enough English to be able to know what a stop sign is or a yield sign or whatever they are out there. And so that's fine. But I don't think we should do an English-only thing. I mean, there are a lot of instances where, and it has nothing to do with just the Mexican people, but there are a lot of different races and that have been incorporated into the United States. And there are instances where things should be put into other languages. I mean, contracts that you enter into own a home, you should be able to own a home without having to speak English. But if you're a citizen now. You got to understand that. If you're not a citizen, then that changes the whole thing. But if you're a citizen, you should be able to own a home without having to speak English, and you should be able to read the contract. So there are places where I think the different languages are quite acceptable. But something where you're going to get a license to do something where you need English, that's another story.
Oh, yeah, just for safety issues, like you're saying, not just the sign, which a lot of them, you know, we do have a lot of icons. Signs or, you know, pictorial signs, but
well, they've been doing that, yes.
Right, which is kind of universal, but, you know, you're coming up on a traffic incident or construction or something. But with anyways, what they're saying, and I agree with this, you know, there's at least 8 other states that are getting ready or have passed laws that if you want a driver's license, you got to take it in English. You know, why should they be 11 other foreign languages, for example, just to take a driver's exam? And those states are like Georgia, Idaho, Minnesota, New York, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Missouri.
Do we have a law that says you have to be a citizen to get a driver's license?
That I'm not sure. I don't think you have to.
Then we need to change that so they do.
But that is one thing that they're making the point regarding the Arizona law is – it's a law anyways. You know, even here in Oregon, if you go somewhere and an officer asks you for ID, you have to be able to show it, whether you're driving or not. It is a law that you have to carry ID. But if you have to prove, like in Oregon, you have to show your birth certificate now, that getting a driver's license could also be your proof of citizenship. So when you're pulled over, say, for a legitimate reason, you know, like a burned out taillight or some reason, that when the officer, because he'll ask you for your ID every time, that also proves right there whether or not you are a citizen. If you can't produce a driver's license, chances are you're not here legally.
Well, that's nice. I've run across now, by the way, since I've gone to my decrepit old age and can't see anymore, and I don't have a driver's license. And I have actually run across a couple of instances where I was doing other things, a bank for one, and I'm required to have a driver's license. I don't have a driver's license. Yep. The other day, I don't have any picture ID because I don't have a driver's license.
Right. But you can go to DMV and get an ID.
Actually, I said that wrong. I do have an ID, and since it wasn't a driver, I didn't accept it for start.
Oh, well, that's kind of unusual. But anyway, there's one small town, and I know other towns have tried to do this before and failed.
Yes, I mean,
yeah, you're cutting in and out again, Cliff.
Did I do that again? I say I guess you can go get one. I need to do that, I suppose.
Yeah. For example, there's a Jackson, New York, for example, is a small town, about 1,700 people, and they just passed a law that if you're going to do business in the town, that they're the law is requiring all town businesses to be conducted in English.
Oh, now that I think is wrong. That I absolutely, positively think is wrong. I mean, if the business owner, if the store owner wants to conduct their business in Spanish, I think they should be allowed to. And I, you know, in my opinion, if they want to conduct all of their business strictly only in Spanish, that's fine. If they want to.
Yeah, but here's something that the fire department locally has made an issue of, is when they're responding to an incident, say at a business, a Spanish or Korean or whatever business, and the sign is totally in a foreign language, there's no English on it at all. Unless you speak that language, you know, you don't, or unless it's obvious, you know, the place there's smoke coming out of the windows, to go in for an emergency, you don't know what that business is.
Tough. I don't think, just tough. We can pick nits if we want to, but the possibility of that being a problem is totally out of the question. If a business is being robbed, and you don't go in and do anything because you can't speak the language, then I'm sorry, I just can't accept that.
So you can't accept the fact that there's a few businesses in town here that. They're a foreign business. The signage on the front of the building is in a foreign language. There is no English on
right.
it. If you have to respond to an incident at, Brewer's Bakery, for example, I'm just throwing a name out there, and it's in Korean, for example, and you don't read Korean, how are you going to know that it's Brewer's Bakery?
How am I going to be asked to respond to anything?
That's my point.
No, why would I be asked to respond to anything at Brewer's Bakery?
If you're a law enforcement, and I'm a citizen calling in and saying that...
They have what you call addresses. We have addresses, Robin, and we could go find the address.
Okay. Well, I mean, you make a good point on that part. But if you're driving... down the road. I mean, yeah, they do, the police office, you know, the police and fire, you know, they do go to 1535 Main Street, you know, and then to give them a map page generally. But, again, you still have to figure out what business it is. And if you have three or four businesses in a foreign language, no English on it at all.
Well, you know, I guess I would have to say that in the case of somebody calling the police, somebody must have known English to call the police. And if they're not going to put any possible thing out there to identify them, then that's their problem. Again, we're trying to force people to go along with our ideas, and that's not necessarily the way America is supposed to work. I mean, you know, if it's a fire and they need to respond to a fire, like you say, they're probably going to notice that. But you know, if the person who runs that business really wants nothing to do with anybody who speaks any language other than their own, then let them take care of themselves.
Oh, I got no problem with that. But I guess my point is where does it stop? I mean, for example, I think it's Astoria, or I can't remember which town it is in Oregon, where they're requiring the kids – first graders to learn Spanish, you know, the language of the invading culture. Is fine. If people in their own little group want to talk a different language, great. But we are primarily still English speaking here, but it's gotten to the point that you're, like my job search, for example, there's been several jobs that I've come across that says Spanish speaking is required, or being bilingual is required. You know, I'm not bilingual. I have, in fact, I don't really have any plans anytime soon to learn another language of any Spanish, Japanese, or whatever. But the point is that where does it stop?
Well, I guess I have to take offense to a couple of things that you just said. The invading language, the invading population.
When you have 12 million people that enter the country illegally, and it's an invasion. And when they start invading and changing your culture, that is definitely an invasion. It's doing what Japan and Germany have failed to do. They have infiltrated the United States and have taken over primarily. And that's why people are tired of it. You know, they're not saying that, you know, Mexicans, Canadians, or whoever aren't welcome. Yes, welcome to the United States, but come through the front door, be legal, be welcome. Come through the side door, I have no sympathy for you. You know the risk coming over here. You're trying to, like Nancy Pelosi says, there's too many people over here now to arrest and deport. And so now we're starting to change our culture to accommodate them? No.
Well, that gets into a really interesting logistical situation because, you know, I assume when I can't believe that a language is trying to invade us.
No, it's the result of the invasion.
Well, the thing is, we're not being invaded. Well, okay, then we need to attack this, if I can use these words, on a different front then. And then we get back to the immigration problem. But I don't think we should attack it as a language problem. And as far as certain schools being able to require someone to learn a language, that's we've opted to allow the states and communities to run the schools. So that's their option. That's their privilege. Again, we're trying to take their authority away from them, and that's what we've got to stop doing. This idea that the federal government is all knowledgeable and all powerful has got to stop. We've got 400 or 500 close to idiots up there trying to figure out what's going on, and we're allowing them to tell us what to do, and that has got to stop. So that's the thing we've got to change is how our Congress is running. And, you know, to let them sit up there and try and think they're experts, they're not. They're not. The only thing that they're good at is trying to get money out of you and get reelected.
I agree with you in that regard, but like some of the issues, again, like English, illegal immigration, people were afraid to talk about it because it's not politically correct. But
well, that of course is a phrase that should be removed from the language too.
I agree. I also consider it an insult, illegal immigration, an insult to the people who have went through the process, spent the time, spent the money to be here legally. It's a slap in their face. You know, like they're saying in Arizona, some of them people are afraid to go out in the street for fear that they're going to be asked for their papers. Well, unfortunately, by turning our backs and not enforcing the law has created the situation. It's unfortunate, very unfortunate, that if you have different color skin, in a sense, you get thrown into the same bucket. That's wrong, but it's the result of not following the law, from people helping or encouraging, you know, businesses hiring illegal immigrants, for example, just for the cheaper labor. And on that note, I'd like to also add is one of the arguments is that if we didn't have illegal aliens, our economy would fall apart. Well, take that.
What?
Yeah, take that. That's what they're saying. If we didn't have illegal immigration, or illegal immigrants, our economy will fall apart. Well, I say,
well, that's a bunch of crap.
Well, let's turn it around. Let's say we go ahead and give them all amnesty. Now they're all legal. Well, we can't do that because our economy will fall apart.
I know. Yeah. You know how we have to solve this? What we have to think about? And this is, okay, let's give our audience homework. Okay.
And a phone number.
Yes. Well, basically, first the homework. Think about this. How do we solve this immigration problem? My solution is very simple. How do we come up with a way to make our elected officials or our hired, what do you want to call them, enforcement, law enforcement officials, do their job? Do their job. How do we convince them to do their job? That's the problem. Nobody is enforcing the laws. How do we get the laws enforced? We hire people to enforce the laws and they don't. Then we need to start changing some people. That's what we need to do. How do we go about getting our laws that are already on the books, not putting new ones there, but getting the laws that are already on the books enforced? That's our question. How do you enforce the laws? That's the question. The telephone number, 646-721-9887.
3 minutes left in the show. You're exactly right. I mean, that's exactly what Arizona is doing. They're enforcing the federal law. And
I applaud them.
And from what I understand, the way it works, at least the one federal worker explained it to me on a different situation, states have to follow minimum federal regulations, but states are allowed to add to it. The only thing that the states are doing, or at least Arizona is doing, is just, are you a citizen or are you not? They're saying it's unconstitutional. Well, when you go and apply for a job or you go get a driver's license, you know, when you go apply for a job, you have to prove you're a U.S. citizen.
Right. I think you. That's I agree. No, I'm all for Arizona.
And well, if the Arizona law has done nothing else, is it's brought it back to the forefront, and it's showing our government officials how people really feel about it. I mean, if you go to the Pew Research Center, they have statistics showing about 67% of the people surveyed are in favor of the Arizona law.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Step further.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I understand and I agree. And it's about time, you know, we should start paying attention to some of these polls and some of these organizations that tell us what people think, because, you know, all of this happens, but of course, back again to our 500 people sitting up on the hill that know better. They know better. We don't give a damn about what the people want. We know what's good for them.
Exactly. In fact, in the last 2 minutes left, because it's been a politically correct thing, and especially politicians don't want to touch this, John Lim, who's running for governor, he's a legal immigrant. And let me just, if we got time real quick, let me just play his clip, his ad.
The first generation immigrant, I came here legally, and I became a proud American citizen. I support Arizona's new immigration law. This is not about the racism or racial profiling. This is about respecting our law and order. There are over 200,000 illegal immigrants in our state. Illegal immigrants are taking away American citizens' jobs and filling up jail spaces. I'm John Lim, standing up for the law and Constitution.
And where is he from?
He is, not sure exactly where. I think he's Korean. But
no, what state is he standing
this
up?
This is Oregon.
Oh, this is Oregon.
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, let's elect that dude.
Yeah. If nothing else, you know, having the courage to stand up and even mention illegal, a lot of the other candidates won't even touch the issue.
And I think it's great that it's respect for the law. It has nothing to do with immigration.
I agree. Anyways, we're out of time. We'll be back again next weekend, same time, hopefully. And more new and exciting stuff. So tune in, send us a comment, talk at arvnradio.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. See you next weekend.
See you next weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.